Welcome to the Erica Russo Show, where we dive deep into the realms of personal development, spirituality, and the power of the mind. Join us on a transformative journey as we explore the art of manifesting the life you truly desire, all while listening to your intuition. Join host Erica Russo, intuitive life and business mentor and best-selling author, each week as we'll embark on a quest to uncover the secrets of manifesting abundance, nurturing a resilient mindset, and tapping into the spiritual dimensions that shape our reality. Each episode, we'll bring you insightful discussions, practical techniques, and inspiring stories from experts and seekers alike. Whether you're seeking clarity in your spiritual journey, striving to shift your mindset, or eager to unlock your full potential, this podcast is your guiding light.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Erica Russo Show. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am beyond excited that the universe led you here today. And if you are an OG, if you continue to come back and just press play and lean into your intuition and love on your inner child and do the motherfucking work, I love you. Thank you so much for your continued support. It means the world to me. If this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you the conversations that you needed to hear, if it's giving you the insights, the tips, the tricks, the tools, that is giving you the confidence to help you lean into your intuition, I would be so grateful if you can head on over to iTunes or Spotify and leave a review. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And now, more than ever, I think that we can all agree the world is pretty chaotic right now. And the things that come through on this channel can really help a lot of people. Before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you send a screenshot to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I would love to send you a free gift for supporting this podcast. Now, today, I am so excited for this episode. I've been wanting to bring back this guest for quite some time. Today, I had the pleasure, well, not today, obviously, this was pre-recorded, but I had the pleasure of reconnecting with Becky Galantine, my favorite paranormal investigator and content creator, and we talked all things haunted. Now, I think that this conversation needed to be out in the open for the simple fact that now more than ever, which is quite interesting. I've had people in the past reach out regarding paranormal activity to me on Instagram. But now since like February, a lot more people are reaching out and asking questions, not specifically towards mediumship, but like paranormal experiences that they had. So I thought that it would be a great idea to bring Becky back on and talk all things haunted. What are the telltale signs that some shit is happening to either a object or a house? We talk a lot about her own personal content creation and the objects that she kind of actually find their way to her. It was a really great conversation. It's always a great conversation. You can follow her both on TikTok and on Instagram. I will leave her social media handles down below. Again, I really like doing these sorts of, I call them conversations because that's exactly what they are. But I really wanted to do this episode for the simple fact that I think that when it comes to psychic development and mediumship development and spirituality and the occult, it mixes and intertwines with the paranormal. So having her come on, who, I mean, if you watch her, I love her content, by the way. I am not a content consumer. I am more of a content creator. But if there's only a handful of content creators that I really just truly enjoy seeing on my feed, and hers is one of them. Her content, I'm girl crushing right now, but it's like her content, she's so intuitive about it. She's so intentional about it. She really does her research. She shares the history behind all of the things that she is sharing. She makes really great content. So be sure to follow her. I hope everyone has an amazing week, and I will see you around the internet. Okay, guys, I am so excited for today's conversation. I have a very dear friend, Becky Galantine, back on. You were on like, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
2 years.
2 years ago. And I'm so excited to have this conversation with Becky. She is my favorite paranormal princess. She is an incredible content creator, and she knows all things haunted and paranormal. And we have a great conversation today that we are going to dive into. Becky, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me back. Your podcast was one of my favorite to be on. I feel like the conversation so productive and wholesome, and it's one that I really am excited to be back on.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. So if you guys do not follow Becky on social media, she has this, I guess it's a new thing that you do, where you take people's haunted items and
sign up for it. Yeah. Not something I volunteered for. It's coming from a place of compassion. And I know a lot of people think like, oh, you must be soliciting these things. But really what happened is after a few times in a row, almost back to back, people were offering me objects and had, you know, claims of them being haunted. And I would say, well, set the boundaries. And if they're not comfortable setting those boundaries, or they felt like it wouldn't work, they said, please take it. And it gives them a sensation of relief. Doesn't matter if anything manifests from that point. It has a story. I accept that story, and it gives them a comfort in their home. So it happened over and over. I don't buy them. It's not intentional. I just think when you're in the paranormal for a long period of time, the objects start to come in. And once the floodgates open, you're flooded.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's funny that you say, you know, it gives people peace when it comes to, you know, feeling like you have an object that's haunted. I had a reading about 2 years ago, and the woman brought me an old Victorian doll. And it definitely had residual energy connected to it. But she said that this was in her family for a very, very long time. And it was her mother's, and her sister was absolutely terrified of it. And it was interesting to me, because what I essentially picked up on wasn't essentially haunted, but it was like residual energy of fear. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times when it comes to paranormal, we have to understand that everything is energy. And if at one point in time, there was a little girl that said that there was a monster in the closet, and she was so incredibly afraid of it, and then the mother goes and tells the neighbor, and then the neighbor gets afraid, you're building this fear monster when it could have just simply been something very, very innocent. And I think that's where you have to really have a very grounded, logical view when it comes to anything spiritual and paranormal, because it is just energy. I do believe that there are hauntings, but, you know, I used to watch Ghost Hunters, and I loved that they went into the experience wanting to debunk a haunting. You know what I mean? They were trying to make it rational. Whereas like there's other TV shows that are paranormal investigators that just absolutely inflate it and are very dramatic. And I think you probably know who I'm talking about. Yeah. And we have to really go in to anything when it comes to mediumship or this kind of work with a very grounded, logical approach. And I think that's why you're so good at what you do. You don't come in with fear. You come in with trying to debunk it, trying to make sense of it. And I think that's why people are quite literally sending you things, because, you know, there are people that do this work that just, it's almost like they do it for the views. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, let's not do that. Let's try to take the fear out of this, because there can be a lot of healing and some great insight on this kind of stuff. So tell me, What are five signs that show you that something or some place is haunted?
I think one of the biggest things is hearing voices that you can't explain. Because that, for me, as long as you're not living in a place that has paper thin walls and you're hearing voices, something calling your name, beckoning to you, or just, you know, you kind of catch it out of the, you're looking in one direction and you hear, hey, how are you? You know, and you turn around and nobody's there. I think disembodied voices are a pretty good sign that or someone might be haunted. And there are certain signs that manifest in the house that, like a cold draft, that can be explained, but you can't explain away a voice. There's no equipment, unless you have an Alexa or something. Or like a hacked camera. But if you're certain it's not some sort of electronic and you hear something, I think that's a pretty good sign.
I think that's a really good sign. Have you ever heard disembodied voices in the places that you investigate?
So, you know, close to Dudley Town in Connecticut, which is allegedly first town in America, there's a cemetery nearby, and a friend and I were in there and we said, you know, we can't go to Dudley Town, but I'm curious about this land here. And it's this really unique cemetery that kind of sits on a hill. And we walked outside and we're just looking at it. It's the middle of the night. The stars are shining. We're surrounded by these giant pine trees. It's this beautiful, you know, state forest around us. And we hear the sound of something breathing above us. And it was a long, exacerbated, almost like they're hovering. And I could just like imagine something standing above us that was like 6 or 7 feet tall. And it was, we looked at each other and we're like, we're both hearing this, right? And it is not the sound of wind. It was a breath on us. And I don't know how to, like, I'm like, we're experiencing this at the same time in real time. And he's like, yes. Gets out his phone to try and record it because we didn't expect that to happen, and it didn't record it. And the reason is these phones compress the audio, so that picked up as something it should cut out instead of a voice. But it was just so surreal, and like hearing it and making that eye contact, like we're being, something's breathing on us right now. That was really unique, and you don't hear it too often, you know. Like, I guess there are obviously psychological things that could cause you to hear a voice, but when someone else is there validating it, or you're able to record it and validate it with audio, that is like unequivocal, like undoubtedly evidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, if both of you are hearing it, that's quite confirmation.
Yeah.
What's another thing that you would say is a telltale sign that there is a haunting going on?
Electrical issues that cannot be reduced to just electrical issues. I recently spoke with a family and they were experiencing a haunting, and they were literally having steam come out of their bulbs in their house, like this misty, humid steam. And they showed it, and they showed it coming out. And the guy was an electrician. And he's like, I've done my due diligence. There is nothing else I can do to manifest this. And what people don't realize is, yeah, electrical is electrical. And you can debunk certain things as being electrical, like flickering lights and power going out at random and having to switch the breaker, of course. However, when you have electricians come in and it can't be debunked, or considering that spirits could potentially use energy that is already present as an easier avenue, it's like a path that's already forged. They're going to be able to manipulate that. And when you think about certain equipment that needs to be plugged into a wall, it's connected directly to the house. So I recently went to a house that I was there. I was the first investigator, and we spent two nights. The first night I'm like, this is all electrical. This isn't it. And then we get to the basement, and on the breaker, they have, you know, the brown scapular, and they have other, you know, spiritual things that they not only thought there were electrical problems in the house, but they thought something nefarious was affecting the electricity. Do I believe that it was something nefarious? Do I think it was demonic? No, but I do think there was more to it than it being faulty electric. And it was so beautiful. At the end of the investigation, we go to the basement and we set out something called a tripwire. It's triggered by EMF. It works the same way as a K2 meter. We have that laid across the ground in the basement where there's not electricity, there's not things triggering it, and it's perfectly purple. When something touches one of the pieces, it will turn to yellow or green or red. And they were it was fine. And I said, I want a sign outside of the electricity. I want something tangible. And I understand you guys were all having this distrust because it was the site of the first and last meetings of the Whiskey Rebellion with the people who are supposed to protect you. That's angering. Can you give me a sign that lets me know you're here outside of the equipment? Maybe a knock. You hear this loud bang, and then the EMF tripwire lights up as if someone's standing on one of it. And the person who's underdoing Estes, so we're doing this layered investigation with multiple avenues to receive results. And she goes, I feel like someone just walked in the room. And I was like, beautiful. This is what I want my investigations to look like. I want it to be organic. I want it to feel like we're allowing them to speak. It's not a freak show. And that was where I was like, yes, electric, but also electric can be something more than electric.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's funny that you said that the electric thing, because like 2 or 3 years ago, I went to, actually, no, I have to backtrack. Many years ago, when I was 21 years old, I went to Salem with my now husband. And obviously the old burial ground, like right in the middle of Salem, you probably saw it. I think mm-hmm. you've actually made content there, if I remember correctly. Where one of the judges from the Salem witch trials is buried. So this was before I started developing my psychic and my mediumship abilities. We're walking around, and I don't have a weak stomach by any means. I really don't. I don't have stomach problems. We are walking in this, you know, it's like a square burial ground cemetery, and I am getting utterly nauseous. And I'm getting sick to the point where I feel like I have to puke. And we're staying in the next town over. We were supposed to go to like a restaurant in Salem right after. But I was so sick and I got so tired that we had to go back to the hotel. And on our way back to the hotel, we're looking at our phones, and both of our phones are almost dead. And I'm like, that's weird. That's very, very weird. He always has a dead battery. So I wasn't concerned with him, but I never have a dead battery. So we ended up having to, like, I had to fall asleep for like 3 hours, and we just got like Domino's delivered. But then a couple of years ago, I went back by myself to Salem, and I'm at the old burial ground. And from what I gathered from my experience, and this is just my own personal experience as a medium, I do feel, because there's so much foot traffic going in and out of this burial ground where people are quite literally laid to rest, it creates almost like an uneasy feeling, because the path that's going around this particular burial ground, it's stepping on graves. You know, it's like, it's a very small path. And that was always the feeling that I got, that it was like the people that are laid to rest there are not literally resting. Right. It shouldn't be a tourist attraction, basically. And I felt very bad for the souls there, just for the simple fact that it's like when you're trying to just be laid to rest and you're quite literally getting thousands and thousands of transients in and out of this place, it can't be a comfortable situation. And I left and I started walking to like Hawthorne House or something like that. And I noticed again that my freaking cell phone was like at 20% battery. My cell phone never goes below like 50%. Like, I'm very adamant about that. So I was always thinking, like, I was like, I think that there's something there that's almost draining the energy from the cell phones, or just from energy in general, just because I feel so bad for the souls that are buried there, because I do think that it shouldn't be a tourist attraction. It's one thing visiting, you know what I mean? But like, there had to have been 80 people in there at one point. And it's just like, oh, that sucks. But yeah, I definitely agree with the energy, electricity being a big thing.
What people about those graveyards is they're actually a fiction. So people get concerned about stepping on grave sites, right? And they're like, oh, well, this headstone's here, so the graves are... No. In New England, the tombstones are arranged in a fashion that is convenient to mow. That is how, you know, that they were buried in the 1700s. It was basically a burying ground. That's why they say burying ground. A lot of them were thrown into a mound and then the headstones were placed there. And maybe at one point they pointed close to where the bodies were, but shifting, you know, animals burrowing over time, over 300 years. So those paths, they're basically a, you know, a placebo to make you feel like you're not stepping on those graves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cause it was, I just, the whole time I felt like I was walking into like somebody's family dinner, you know what I mean? And it's like, I know it's a feeling, I know it's the clairsentient thing, and it doesn't make any sense because people think, like you said, oh, the pathways are here because that's where the, but it's like, you don't understand earth. Cause it is not, it is a little hilly in this burial ground, you know what I mean? So I can see how you said it does shift and everything like that. But yeah, it's, that's so, I'm so happy that you said that, because that makes a lot of sense, a lot of sense. So what is another telltale sign that something is haunted?
I think this is my favorite, but if you brought an object home recently and everything in your life starts to
seem to shit,
everything's going wrong all at once. Now, misfortune happens. But when you bring home, for instance, a pair of haunted dolls and both of your cars break, even though one's a Cadillac and one's a, you know, a new car with 18,000 miles and all of your business revenue is going in the wrong direction for the first time and the heater goes out and you pay thousands of dollars to fix it and the object has moved and smashed something and things start falling down in your house and you can't make sense of it and you try to stop it and you set these boundaries and it continues and then you remove the object and it stops. That's probably a pretty good sign that that might have been a haunted object.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
This layered misfortune that
yes.
You know, we do get ruts where it's like, what did I do wrong? Why is everything going wrong? But when it's this mechanical thing, for example, the instance I'm talking about are these dolls that came from Ryan Matthew Cohen. They actually came from Connecticut, of course. And when he looked at one of the situations where the car broke down in New Jersey, and that was the worst, like that was the final straw. He messaged me in the middle of the night. And he said, they need to go. There was actually something physically disconnected. And nobody knows where they live. Nobody touched that. So it was at that point where I'm like, okay, I'll take them. He's like, what do? Do I burn them? But he just had so much. And it was, you know, physical manifestations, footsteps, that was just chaos. It's a feeling of chaos. Can't be described any other way. And that's when I was like, I believe you. I believe you. And I'm going to be cautious. And he had insulted them, actually. And since I've had them in my home, I have not insulted them. So I'm not messing with it. I don't take them on. See these investigators with these haunted objects that they take them to every Paracon. And I'm like, how do they do that? Because I'm not going to put those in my car if I know that they've caused car trouble allegedly three times. Why risk it? Why taunt it?
Yeah. Have you had any experiences since getting these haunted dolls?
I put up a camera and I only posted it on TikTok, but what happened is I was home alone, so I'm vulnerable and I'm sitting in a room reading a book and I got a notification from my Nest camera that said person seen in the hallway. So I go to look at the person that was seen and the light actually went out, and as it turns back on, the mouth of the doll falls out, and not the heat didn't kick on or anything like that. Make it. It was just the light goes out and then the doll's mouth is you can physically see it falling open. And that's when I was like, okay, I let some other people look at it. I'm like, is this paranormal? And they're like, I have a pretty good feeling. It was so unsettling. And when I talked to Ryan as like a follow-up, I said, you know, the doll's moved right on camera. And it's been fine since. It's almost as if they wanted a little bit more attention on themselves, because when I initially posted them, it was like 15 million views. I did it intentionally. We talked about feeding this energy. I wanted people to see because I wanted to validate Ryan's claims. And when that happened, it happened that way. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable with this. So they get a little space in the hallway. I don't mess with them. I don't insult them. I don't like do anything extra with them. It's not a freak show. I documented my journey as they came into my house, but I am not continuing to do that. But they were something where he really felt like they were ruining his life. to the degree that he has a book coming out this October. It's called The Witch's Door, and it's about their journey collecting, and they have an entire chapter on these dolls. This is a skeptic, mind you. This is someone where I went to his house and he said, I'm open to believing, but it's just never happened to me. So that takes a pretty big step in his trajectory as a historian.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm looking forward to that book for sure. Yeah. So is there any other signs that people should look out for?
I think having a specific dream or certain manifestations through our dreams are a pretty good sign. And I know dreams are often wrote off. Sleep paralysis is wrote off as, you know, not a credible source because we all have wacky dreams sometimes. But in my experience, the one time I had a really, you know, confirmed manifestation of something, which was a shadow person came into my house, and they were probably in the house to begin with, but they came into my room, opened the door. That's the only time I've ever seen something physical. I saw the whites of eyes, but couldn't make out the physical entity. And I smelled something awful. It was like mothballs. The only way I can describe it. And I was like, this is sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. I was trying to wake up my partner, and I was like, wake up, wake up. Speaking through my teeth. I couldn't speak. And then it left the room, and I heard it go into our roommate's room. This is about 10 years ago now. And I thought, oh, why was Rich trying to come into the room in the middle of the night? Well, when the morning came and I explained to my partner what happened, he said, Rich didn't come in our room. I don't know what you're talking about. It was a dream. And so I think a lot of people write off dreams, especially lucid dreams and sleep paralysis, as just an extension of the mind. But when I found out the next day that Rich saw it too, it went in the room, it touched him, it went down the stairs and never left the house. And he described the same foul odor with it. And the doors are locked and it has no way to escape. So whatever it is still in the house. I was like, okay, that wasn't just a weird dream. I wasn't imagining it. So I think dreams, or we look at cases like the Greenbrier ghost in West Virginia, where a woman's daughter passed away, seemingly of natural causes. They have the funeral, and then her daughter comes to her in a dream and says, my husband strangled me. What does that mean? You know, and then they go to court and they find out he was guilty. He murdered her. And that is not the first case of a spirit coming to someone in a dream and saying they were murdered and the person being convicted after.
Yeah. No, that's a big thing is dream visitation is huge. It's the biggest thing that I would say too, is there is a difference between dream visitation from an actual person in spirit form than a dream where you have your passed away grandmother who's a character in what's going on in your dream. But that's something that's so, yeah. Yeah, that's very, very true. That's kind of how I realized I was a medium, was I was getting dream visitations, and I was like, what is going on? But also, what for me, I've had a lot of people ask paranormal questions when it comes to like their house. And usually I will say, how does it feel? Like, that's the biggest thing. I really truly believe that we are all very, very sensitive to energy, regardless of what label that you use for yourself. If you go into a place and you know the vibe ain't right, you gotta learn to trust it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I absolutely tell people, yes, I'm looking at this, but the only person that can tell you that that's paranormal, aside from me, if it's not something I can physically debunk, like, you know, EMF and things that are measurable, how did it feel to you? What do you think? And if your gut feeling is telling you that something's going on, it probably is, you know, there are times, you know, orb photos and lens flares where we do have to step in and say, no, not in this case. But there are times where it's like, if your gut is really telling you you're experiencing something, it probably is. I just ran into someone at an antique store and I was telling him what I did. He was the owner. And he said, you know, when my sister's boyfriend passed away, I felt him like staring in the room as we're cleaning it out. I felt a presence. What do you think of that? And I was like, if you felt like he was there, he was probably there, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think too, dream visitation is a big thing for the simple fact that, again, I'm coming from a grounded approach. It's the easiest way spirit can come to us. It is the easiest way spirit can communicate with us.
If you think of spirits as looking for like these weak spots in the atmosphere trying to reach out to us, like I said with the electricity, it's like, well, of course they're going to take like the easiest way. That's why, you know, the physical manifestation is so rare, but it does happen. But there are times where people say, oh, well, that's just a broken radio, or that's just a, you know, it's faulty. And it's like, yeah, but that fault allows, because it one incident is, you know, could be debunked. But when it's a series and a pattern and it seems intelligent, there's something more going on. When your dreams start telling you things that there's no other way you could have known, then you have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, and I like how you said it's a pattern. It's a repetitive pattern. If you're constantly having electrical issues, if you're constantly having very vivid dreams and experiences while you're sleeping, and if you're feeling a certain way or something along those lines, that is a whole lot of evidence, right? That's a whole lot of evidence. I think the biggest thing with me is it's very easy to go down the fear road with this, like very, very easy. But I always try to say, like, I don't know, for me personally, in my relationship with the spirit world, I treat people the way I want to be treated. I don't look at spirits or ghosts or anything along those lines other than the soul that they are. How would I talk to someone who's physical, like in this world? Like, I would just talk to them the way I would just talk to you. And I think that spirit respects that. You know what I mean? Because if it's not a malicious spirit, they're just wanting to say something. They're just wanting to connect,
They just want remembered, or they have something that they have to get off their chest. Exactly. And that's why what you said, I really like that, because I always tell people, I do this from the lens of someone who worked as a mortician. I don't care if that person passed 100 years ago. Would I do that in front of their family? And if the answer is no, I'm not going to do it on an investigation. Even when we look at the criminals or people that have these alleged bad pasts, everyone has a reason. Everyone goes down a bad path, and not everyone is are we're not in a position to judge everyone. So I try to go in with an open mind. And that includes being respectful to even spirits that might seemingly have done something very bad. And that has come up a few times where they're like, they didn't intend for it to come together this way. So that is definitely something I like that you said.
Like I said, it's paranormal spirit. It is unknown. It's absolutely unknown. We know very little about the spirit world at the end of the day, with all of the information that we have gathered throughout the centuries and everything like that. And I think that the best paranormal investigators, the best mediums, the best people in this understand that fear is a big problem. Fear is a very big problem. And the bigger the fear, the more people believe it. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to understand that you're creating the monster.
Yes, and that is a conversation we've had privately, where the fear becomes a function. It's almost like an indoctrination into the fear-based path. And so when I saw these people initially who get very scared on investigations, and then everyone else seems to follow suit with their fear, I thought they were faking it. And now I don't realize, or now I realize they're not faking it. Just the way that they built this, it was a building block from fear, and it's a path that you take. And so if you feed that fear and you feed that fear, that is what you are going to receive back. So if you think that something, you know, touching you is actually trying to cause you harm, and then it's we've all been to a sleepover where one person gets scared from a movie, and then it becomes infectious, right? That happens. The paranormal. You are not well slept. You're on an investigation from someone that's like, I think I see something over there. And then all of a sudden, everyone's seeing something over there, and it's ominous, and it's hallway, and everyone's in danger, and you need to leave. And if some one person said they need to leave or they need to run, everyone else is going to run. It's human nature.
Absolutely. And I think that too, like I said, sometimes you just need to be aware of that, because even in, you know, psychic development, so it's very interesting how just the human experience works and how we are so programmed to kind of follow suit, you know, especially when it comes to the unknown. And this is unknown, you know, this is very unknown. So I think too, if we have people who do this work, you really have to be the voice of reason. I think that you really have to be the one that kind of has to question things, you know, because at the end of the day, fear is quite literally a contagious virus.
Yep.
And it's always going to be at every single investigation. It's always going to be at every single mediumship. That it doesn't matter. It's contagious, you know, and it's very easy to feed onto it or feed off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what, if you guys saw what I am looking at in the background, it's so, it literally looks like Morticia's parlor from the Addams Family, and I'm loving it. But what is your favorite haunted item that you own right now?
If I save it in front of them, they're gonna get jealous.
Oh yeah, they're gonna get jealous. That's right.
Oh, they don't care like that. Yeah. I think the most, to measure that, I would say the most compelling possibly are the haunted dolls. And the reason being, one, they came from a skeptic. They came from someone who collects antiques, who collects ancient artifacts, who's been doing this for decades, was a skeptic as of last year, and then contacts me in the middle of the night and says, please get these off my hands. And they just, I knew I wanted them, and I knew that they were dangerous. It was the first object that I ever felt like, maybe a little hairy bringing these into the house. And we thought, I talked to other investigators. I said, preemptively, if I need to separate them, I'm going to send one to you just in case something like that were to come up. And the story was just so compelling. And they are genuinely likable to look at. It's like, oh, I kind of feel sorry for them. So I would say, just because the credibility, the activity, the story, the fact that we rarely get to see the first source, which is going to be the book published along with the item, in a way that is actually documented, because many famous haunted objects come from two ways. And one is an undocumented word of mouth where there's no verification to the backstory, or they come from someone only getting the evidence through mediumship. And I don't think that that's the best way, because I think you need to have layers. You need to have a firsthand account, just the family that wanted it. It wasn't bought online, but a lot of people, it's just basically word of mouth. Hello, this is this certain doll. And I'm not talking about Annabelle. There's another famous doll that an investigator has. And the whole backstory is only coming through spirit boxes and mediumship. And there's no person that was involved that was actually affected by the object.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you too. You've seen Annabelle, right?
Right.
What's your impression of it?
When, first off, if there was anything attached to Annabelle, that place has been blessed so many times, so many people have gone through, that I don't think anything could be attached. Do I believe that a haunted doll could crawl into bed with someone, try to strangle them, and write notes on parchment paper? You're telling me that a family got notes on parchment paper that said, help me, save us. And you didn't save them? You didn't save that paper?
You didn't frame it?
Right. If my cat wrote a note, if a doll wrote a note, if I found a note in my house that belonged to nothing, first off, I'm going to the police. I'm not going to paranormal investigators. I'm going to be like, I found this note in my house. So Annabelle's story, as fantastical as it is, as much as I love and adore some of the people who are taking care of her, there's no documentation for any part of that story. It does not exist. There, from the initial name being sourced from a little girl killed in a car accident that came through from a medium named Annabelle, that didn't happen. There was an accident, but it had nothing to do with that. And all the way down to the motorcycle accident where someone was killed. No names. And as the stories have come forward from The Conjuring, the people have come forward. The Perrin family has come forward. They speak about their stories. Yet when you look at Annabelle, you don't think the two nurses from Hartford Hospital would have said, that was actually me. It was awful. Or the fiance, hey, you know, like I experienced that. I'm the one that she tried to strangle. The only thing that is rooted in facts is that Father Nolan, who I'm familiar with the name from Hartford, he did the exorcism. And, you know, being in the funeral field, you would hear these names. So I'm like, I know that guy. So that's it. And there was no documentation of that even happening. And I don't think you can exorcise a doll. So I think, I don't know who, it could have been done in good faith the same way I received my objects. So the Warrens could have received this, taking it at face. Like the doll that I just got, the person came to me and said, you know, he was walking around the living room, this is happening. Cool, great. I'm taking that at face value. I'm going to repeat the story, but that doesn't mean I can replicate it. So with Annabelle, I think something is lost in translation. I think it's weird that there are no firsthand accounts coming forward. And again, some of the stuff really does seem fantastical with my experience now in haunted objects. If you're not experienced, you're going to go, okay, that must be what it looks like.
Yeah. I love that. See, I told you she's the best paranormal investigator, guys. But no, I think too, like you said, if we're going to talk about hauntings, I think that there should be layers until layers upon layers that need to happen in order mm-hmm. for it to be claimed haunted.
Yes.
That's my personal thing. One paranormal investigator going in there and catching an EVP, I don't think personally for me would make me believe that a place is haunted.
Yeah.
What I would want personally is at least three different paranormal investigators or teams coming in doing that. Stories of the people who are living there. You know what I mean? This is what happened. Firsthand accounts. You know what I mean? But then also, at the spiritual level, having a medium who has absolutely no idea the story behind a particular place, but also having two to three mediums come in and seeing how this story can be created with the information coming from a paranormal team, the firsthand accounts, as well as the mediums. And I think that is the only way a haunting should build credibility personally. You know, I guess that there's a house in New York that's deemed haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in Nyack or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's legally declared haunted. And
yeah,
because it was the Ghostbusters ruling that this occurred. And the woman, I looked into it, her bed was shaking. And that's one that I don't know how to explain, the bed shaking, shaking phenomena. And I've seen that a few times, but it hasn't been explored and other people have lived in there. So, you know, we think about these hauntings and like you said, with layering, it's like, okay, her bed was shaking and she had other stuff going on, but other people have lived in the house and not replicated the phenomena. It was actually for sale recently, you know?
Mm. Yeah. That's interesting. Cause I walked past it once. Cause it's in a beautiful like river town and I walked past it. And I think that there is some sort of sign in front that says like the first, you know, it's deemed haunted. And I remember looking and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. It could have been the person too.
Yeah.
Oh, they have this ruling that they're required to legally declare a house haunted, but it's like, what if it was something with the person calling her and what happened to her after? This is why the field of study is so important. Does the condition persist in the house after the person leaves? Does it follow them? What is the condition? It's like, you know, and people get so caught up in sensationalism that they don't ground it and bring it back to reality. And, you know, when you talk about layering, we think about everything that we mentioned. So you go to a house, you have a disembodied voice, you have electrical issues, you're having weird dreams, and all of this stuff is layering. And one of the final things I wanted to mention is objects going missing. So not just haunted objects, but if you're experiencing, you know, you set something on your counter a few hours ago and it's gone and you can't find it. And that continues to happen, misplacement of things. And you set up a camera and you can't, it's not you. Or I've seen objects falling over, but they're not like on the edge and it doesn't seem to make sense. I think that's the other thing. I guess just anything unexplainable changing conditions in your environment, but you have to have that layering. And usually the really compelling haunted places, we're seeing lights going out, you know, objects going missing, voices, apparitions, and it's got to have those layers or else it's just one unexplained phenomena. That doesn't mean the place is harboring some activity.
Yes, absolutely. This was so good. This was such a good conversation.
Yeah.
Guys, be sure to follow Becky both on TikTok and on Instagram. And please, if you guys have any questions when it comes to, I would love to do another episode with you where if we get enough questions regarding like hauntings and stuff like that, we can do a Q&A. That would be a great, I think that would be a great, great episode. But you guys be sure to follow Becky. Becky, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Love it. Okay, guys, I'll see you soon.